Just Be Good to Me, SOS Band, here on 94.4 FM, Salford City Radio, your city, your station. And we're sorry we couldn't bring that interview to you from Sam Alvi from the British Muslim Heritage Centre, charity organisation, but we'll bring it to you in the very near future. So it was about the heritage matrimonials. And now on the line, we have Alex Mellerbrook from Select Personal Introductions, and he's also the Secretary of the Association of British Introduction Agencies. So we're going to get him online now. And welcome to the show, Alex. How are you?
I'm very well. Good afternoon, Sophia.
Okay. You all right? Yeah, fine. I'm just a bit upset that we couldn't get the interview, because then you could have heard that as well and responded on that. But never mind, we can do that next time. So, so how popular is your agency? Well, what's the difference first between dating agencies and introduction agencies?
There isn't a difference. I think the big difference is between an online agency and an offline agency. That's the big difference, because an online kind of situation would be run on a database situation. So it's a bit like an auto trader for humans. You go in, you put your own information in, but then you have to go back in and see if anybody's responded, look at other people's profiles, and obviously there are different kind of scenarios that go with the online situation. So it may be that it's free, as in free to put your information on, but when you want to start communicating, then obviously that's when you have to pay. Whereas ourselves, for instance, I would say that the big difference is somebody looking offline, it's probably a little bit more serious, because they are looking for a relationship. A lot of people seem to use online as a kind of casual situation. A lot of our members, for instance, that come to us are looking for a serious relationship, and I suppose what you want becomes a little bit more prevalent in some of the choices that you want to be made for you. And obviously, again, what we're attracting at Select are professional, managerial, creative and media, semi-professional. So, again, there's a specific kind of niche market that we look for based within the Northwest and West Yorkshire. There are some agencies that will cover the whole of the the whole of the country, but of course then you've got to look at, are you willing to travel that far? So it all depends. Offline, online is very, very different. You've got people to talk to when you're with offline. I know I speak to people all the time, giving advice, maybe just saying, right, you can't meet that person, and that's brilliant, I'll let them know, we can sort that out. Whereas online, of course, you wouldn't know. You just think somebody isn't interested, or they've gone away, or that's a false profile or something. So we're able to be in the middle there for them, which is really, really good, and sort that out for them.
So how long have introduction agencies been running then? Have they been running longer than dating agencies?
A long time. I mean, dating agencies and introduction agencies are similar. Online situation, that literally has only come into play really over the last, say, 9 years. I mean, I've been in the industry for about 14 years now, and it's more prevalent to that. And again, the use of, say, for instance, online has changed with regards to ourselves. Agency, obviously, we've seen a lot of changes. People's perceptions, what people are looking for, people understanding, and people's choices, they change, and people's attitudes change as well. And I think that's partly to do with the kind of the social situation that goes on with social media and things like that, how they use it, what their expectations are. Online shopping, that has an implication as well. People sometimes want things faster than they can have, because, you know, people aren't products. And again, what people ask for in what they're looking for can be very specific. Some are a little bit more open. But it's down to speaking to a real person or dealing with a computer. I suppose that's the big thing between online and the offline. But yeah, it's there's never been a difference between dating agency and an introduction agency. There's always been a difference between online and offline. I suppose that's the thing, because it's an online is a, as I say, just a database that kind of works on a computer, and that makes the decisions for you sometimes. So
now with Muslim agencies, the ones which are run with Islamic rules, there's no free mixing of the sexes, only chaperoned contact between the potential marriage partners with parents or organisation hosts present, and they can't meet the cut of private meetings organised through the organisation. So what do you think about Muslim marriage introductory services?
With the role that I have with regards to the Association of British Introduction Agencies, I actually speak to a gentleman whose actually father started up an agency, which is based more south based, but he is specifically for Asian to Asian and obviously talking about Islam and things. So I think he's seen a change in certain specifics as well. So he would probably say that you have to stay open to what somebody is looking for. So there will be some people who say, look, I want to make this choice. I want to meet the guy or the lady that I feel I'm comfortable with, and to take that forward. There are occasions where I know he's dealt with people where the parents have been involved. I think it's always difficult because it's, you know, as a parent, you know, whether to younger children or older children, you realise it has a lot of things that it's going to throw at you, and relationships are about give and take, and it's very, very hard. And if the chemistry between the two of you, and that's not just kind of physical chemistry, but everything else, the values, the morals, the issues, your beliefs in life and how things should be kind of looked at, are really, really important. And that's what gives the longevity to a relationship. And it's very difficult. I think it's very, very difficult for people, and especially with a religious situation as well, of where do you draw the line? Where do you kind of steer people, and do you try to force people to do something or not? And I know, doing with work on Channel M that I've done, I spoke to somebody else with regards to this, and his belief was that it need to, yes, the family do need to be involved, but it does need to come from the partner, the kind of the husband and wife to be, as it were, because they're the ones that are going to have to go through that marriage. And yes, the family is involved. It's always the way. But he always said it can't be forced. It needs to be one of those open kind of situations where, yes, there will be chaperoning. Yes, but the two of them have to like each other. And that was a key thing that he put across. I know he was based in Manchester as well, which I thought was quite interesting. But I would say Parag's of the same. The gentleman I'm talking about within the ABI is a similar kind of mindset, where it is for the couple to kind of, they've got to meet a number of times to see if they get on, and it has to develop between the two of them from that point of view, but it also has to work from the family side. So I suppose it's a compromise. It is a compromise, and it's a difficult choice, and it's a worry, because as kind of parents, you want the best, but you also want them to follow a particular religion or stance or whatever you want to call it, that they kind of follow that through with their life, because it's very important to you, and you've seen how important it is to them, but also it has to be from the couple's point of view as well. You know, will that marriage last? And that's what you want. You want the best for your children, and sometimes you have to look at that. And there is always change.
So Select's been running since 97. So yeah. Do you get feedback from people on if you've ever had any long term relationships after that?
Absolutely, or marriages? Absolutely. We hear of marriages. Sometimes it's very difficult to track, because some of the people we deal with, I mean, we found, we interviewed somebody a few months ago, and we'd found out a couple that we'd introduced had recommended us, but they were now living in China. They weren't Chinese, they were now living in China. And sometimes when you go on Facebook, you'll see people on there, and you'll think, they have a double-barreled name now, they've got married. So sometimes you can track, and you find out, and people are bringing photos, and they'll say, such and such a body recommended you, which is fantastic. So we obviously have long-term relationships, and it is lovely to see where you start with a kind of an interview at the beginning, and you talk to somebody and you talk about their fears and their worries and that you know, how do you meet people? And I think the hard thing is, I mean, we were talking about the kind of social media now, it's people are, the lives are so fast now that it's where do you meet somebody who is comparable to yourself, who has a similar kind of belief, because we seem to be just kind of flitting up and down motorways and kind of pushing past people and not giving people a time of day, but you're not stopping to go, right, who am I looking to meet?
Yeah.
So in one sense, to have somebody there to go, look, let's bring you two together is brilliant.
Do you think
matchmaking's been around for centuries?
Do you think people use organisations, or because they've lost social skills, or because they've had enough of the dating scene and having to go kiss so many frogs before this, thinking, "Oh, this person's right for me"? Why do you think people use it?
Everybody uses it for different reasons. Sometimes, I mean, we do a lot of professional people. I've had guys who have gone on the internet who've said, "Yeah, met some very attractive ladies," but when you're talking about a longevity of a relationship, it's the conversation isn't there. It's there isn't anything. I wouldn't say social skills. I think it's time, energy. People who work very hard do not have time to start going out because they've worked, they've finished late, they want to go home, they want to crash, and if they're going out with friends or relatives, they're doing that. It's an evening out. It's not an evening to try and find people. So people have different reasons, but also people's attitudes change sometimes in the sense that we've created a kind of throwaway society, so it's almost become slightly clinical. Some people's attitudes have almost said, "Well, I want this," and what they've not looked at is, "Well, what does the other person want?"
Mm.
You know, it's like somebody saying, "Well, I want a house that's worth so many thousands of pounds." Well, that's very nice. Do you earn that kind of money? Is it viable? And it's a relationship's very difficult. You know, it's to have friends. You could have friends that you've known for years that you could never live with. To find somebody that you can live with and spend all those intimate times, your tired times, your the very stressful times in life, but also those enjoyable moments, it's very difficult to find somebody that you can share that with. And that's the hard thing about relationships. And unless you give time and energy to looking for somebody, it isn't going to knock on the door.
Is it safe to use agencies and organisations? And
yes.
Is it more safe to use introduction agencies than online dating agencies?
With an online site, the person I could go onto one of the major online sites now, and I could put my name down as Sophia. I'm a female. I don't know, 21. five foot, whatever, dress size, whatever, and you would never know any difference. Obviously, an offline agency will check ID. There are certain checks they're not allowed to do because of data protection. Yes, but you know, they talk to people. Everybody's accountable on the membership, and that's the important thing. And I mean, we're regulated, as I said, by the ABIA. So there's certain checks that we've been through as an agency. Agencies, people think, "Oh, it's easy to do," and they'll start up. And the ABIA was set up back in 1981.
Is the ABIA something what all agencies have to be under? Can they not operate without them?
No. It's an option that obviously agencies apply to them. They don't take every agency on board because they don't comply to the rules set down by the government and the IFT, and they do, you know, they do deal with the Office of Fair Trading, trading standards, and things like that. There's a lot of press coverage that they will hold. Agencies that have only been going 6 months, we don't look at, because they have to be trading for about a year, because a lot of people start these things up, and it's a goodwill kind of thing, but it's very difficult to run an agency, and they don't survive. So, you know, if you're looking for an agency that is offline, you need to pick somebody who's been around for a certain amount of time, is accredited with the ABIA, so that they've had those checks put in place. But they will check ID. I interviewed a young lady who came to us this weekend, and her brother had found us. And the only reason he put her in touch with us was because he's got friends who do use online, and he knows exactly why they use the online sites. And that's why he said, there is no way I'm having you dating somebody like that. Mm-hmm. I want you to get somebody who's serious about it. And it's just, there are pockets of people who will use the online sites, and that's fantastic. And I mean, people who have done it and it's been successful.
But there must be a reason.
If you go into a bar, you have to be careful. You know, you don't know who's who. You know, are they single? Are they not? You know, if somebody's just in a relationship, it's a little bit rocky. You know, will they kind of use that situation? So they don't come to us initially if they're kind of not sure or they're kind of messing around, because obviously, you know, it costs a little bit more than an online site. You know,
because I was thinking
we will verify that they are who they say they are and are a particular height and dress size and everything else.
Because the Association of British Introduction Agencies, we're running out of time. Yeah. I mean, it's instigated by the government. There must be a reason, and it must be for safety reasons. So I thought they would have to join them, whether they've been operating for 2 weeks or a year, because it's not a legal
stipulation. It's not something that's set there. It's a voluntary situation. So people will apply to the ABIA, and it's just a safety feature. It's like if you were using a builder. Would you use somebody who is in the back of whatever, or would you use somebody who's accredited so that you have some kind of comeback? So, I mean, that's the main thing. But, it's one of those things where I would say people are a little bit more serious about a relationship using the offline situation. And again, you have to look at what you want out of the agency if it's something that is very specific. So if you wanted somebody, I mean, we've had people who are Muslim who want to meet other Muslims, or Catholic who want to meet other Catholic. We don't specialize in that. There are agencies that do specialize in that, and that's something that you need to kind of look at. And again, you know, I would say if that's what you're looking for, go and look at the ABIA, because there'll be a list of names there and agencies and descriptions of what they do and what they provide.
So what kind of people use your agency? You select introductions?
We have professional, managerial, creative and media, semi-professional, which are dietitians, nurses. So
are people normally older? People who've been out looking and not been able to find anyone, or they've been divorced or separated after a long time?
No, we get people in the late 20s, early 30s, who will suddenly go, right, I have achieved this. And they start looking around at their friends, family, and go, everybody kind of getting hooked up with everybody and having children, and I've been working really hard now, I need to put some time in for me. And that's when they'll come to us. Because obviously they'll start going to the bars and stuff, going, actually, the kind of people in the bar are not the kind of people I want to meet. And that's why it is difficult. It is trying to find somebody on a similar wavelength. And that's what we do, is we kind of facilitate that for them. You know, we find people on a similar wavelength to themselves.
So how do you do that? Do you arrange meetings, or do you have events? Because you spend a lot of time talking to people on the phone, don't you? Getting to know them, get to know what they like.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We try and get a good idea of what they're looking for, and obviously, you know, you have a criteria. And as people meet as well, it's kind of trying to learn a little bit more as they meet, because sometimes you can look at a list of what somebody wants, but what they talk about can be slightly different. I mean, I always use the analogy of location, 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 where you have kind of Phil Kirsty and say, right, this is the house you've been looking for, and they go, no, I don't like it, and they go, okay, this is what you've been talking about, and that's the one that works. And that's why we work the way we work. We were kind of manual based. We try not to use the computer to choose people, because there are little things that people that would miss, and there are key things that some people will bring out that are important to certain people, and that's the key thing, I think. And being able to talk to people like that, having that conversation with somebody, you know, being able to just check everything's okay, you know, people have met, what they've liked, what they've not liked. And sometimes, you know, how am I coming across, you know, when I'm going out and meeting certain people, how have they come across, how have people perceived them, and just giving them that advice and that help, and saying, well, maybe just look at this, or just calm down a little bit there, or, you know, where should we meet? These little things.
And how long is it?
Can make a break.
When you introduce people, how long is it before they start meeting someone through yourself?
Oh, it's about a week or two. You know, if I have an interview with somebody, then it'd be a week or two, and then obviously we're off there because we make the file up, we check, get all the ID together, and we get them matched up, and then they're out and they're off, and it's just getting people out and seeing, get sat in front of each other. That's the key thing, you know.
So you'll have guidelines, won't you, on safety for them as well, and how to meet
absolutely.
In public places.
Absolutely, we've got safety guidelines. We've got tips. Recommendations for venues and things like that. And again, you know, if people aren't sure what to do, you know, sometimes you get the guys and they met a girl and they really, really like them and they go, what do I do now? And we'll probably contact her and we'll go, how did it go? And fantastic, he liked you as well. Call each other.
I suppose so, that's good because you can do all that part what they might find difficult if they don't like someone or if they really like someone and it's a bit stressful and a lot of emotions get in the way. So it's good that you can do that for them as well, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's always the one you really like that you kind of chicken out on a little bit. Even the most confident of people, especially guys, for instance, very confident guys, and they'll meet the woman they really like and they go, I haven't got... We don't read... There's a lot of things that guys do that women don't, and there's a lot of things that girls do that guys don't, and we don't read body language, not very good at it. We don't pick up signals, and it's those kind of things. It's going, actually, she is interested in you. Or, no, just let's leave that and let's move on. And so it's just different things that you can touch on. And again, everybody's very, very different on what they need, what they're looking for, what kind of help they need.
Yeah.
And some people don't need any help. They just go out and they do it and they meet and they're going, great, you know, I'm meeting the right kind of people. I'm looking for that spark now. And it's that. And when you get that call or you're saying, I don't need to meet anybody else because this is going really, really well. Fantastic, you know.
Yeah, fantastic.
Marriages and stuff, so. And which is great.
We'll get you back soon on that as well. It'd be good to have a story with somebody actually going to get married and, you know, it'd be good if they can come down and join you here on the Symphony of Man show. That's fantastic.
That would be great. Trying to get them down, it might be an interesting one. Those top barristers and stuff, they're busy people.
Okay. Oh, that's understandable. So where can people get hold of you then? Is it www.selectservices.co.uk is a website?
Absolutely. Telephone number 0161 872 3900, and you can just make contact with us, have a quick chat if you need to, and obviously we'll talk you through the rest.
Thank you very much, Alex.
All right, Sophia.
Thanks.
Lovely speaking to you.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Soft City Radio, 94.4 FM. Your city, your station, and that was Alex from Select Services. And you can find out more on that organisation on www.selectservices.co.uk and you can give them a call on 0161 872 3900. And we'll bring you him back and we'll also bring you the interview from the British Muslim Heritage Centre in the very near future. So it's Gordon Allen next, so I'll see you next week. Bye.
national news. This is 94.4 FM, Salford City Radio.